Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. The fan line is open, 1-877-332-8255. If you've been patient tonight and you say, oh, hit redial, get in now here on the Green Zone postgame show. If you still have some thoughts on the Riders dropping one to the Elks. But right now, it's time for Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
Each and every week, Belton Johnson goes through the game and tells you what he liked. That is the Beasts. And what he did not. And that are the Beefs. Where are we starting tonight, Belton?
Start with the good.
The Beasts.
Yeah. First quarter there. Who was it? You remember when Kenneth Logan Jr., he fumbled the ball there? I think it was
Joe.
He forced the fumble, right? And then Johnson, offensive line, recovered. I thought the Riders were going to be off ripping and roaring here. Second quarter. Brett Lowther nailed that field goal before the halftime. It kept the Riders from getting shut out, right?
So, yes, it did.
There we go.
Would have been the first time they've been shut out in the first half, but he saved the day with the 44-yard field goal.
Third quarter there, that big run by Ouellette. How many yards was that? Where he rumbled, stumbled? It had to be close.
31.
Yeah, 30. Okay, 31. But, Jamie, my biggest – Beast, I think, was in the fourth quarter there when Riders forced the fumble, Julian Grant on Yaka recover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Riders, they went on to score with a field goal. They took the lead at that point on, you know, after that recovery there, 12-11. I thought the route was on at that point. But that's my beast right there. That fumble recovery.
Well,
it should have been a touchdown.
Well, that was Sapp too, right? That forced that.
Yes.
Did they give it to him?
Well, yeah, I Sapp don't know if Phil or it, Phil yeah. tried to come around and knock it out.
If you look at it, Sapp was a good knock it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Benny Sapp forcing a fumble that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Is the beast.
That was a great play, man. It's
gave him the lead. Got them go ahead points at that point. And on the defense, you know. Anyways, maybe that'll come up on the Beefs. Belton, what do you got for the bad?
All right, first quarter, Trevor Harris throws interception there, right?
Yeah.
You know, I wrote this again. Trevor Harris throws another interception.
That was two in the first drive.
Keyshawn Johnson had that fumble there. All this happened in the first quarter, right? So, second quarter, Lowther misses a field goal there. And then what was it? Fajardo went deep to Julian Grant, that 47-yarder, right before half there and everything, because they'll end up scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fourth quarter, Rankin, that amazing 37-yard touchdown run Daryl brought up his play of the game, right? Hilaire, I got him down here twice. For those deep shots or the catches that he made, right? But fellas, I think my beef is that 2-point convert. I'm sorry, man. That it was a timeout. I think that was called timeout. So Riders, they had time to discuss things and to throw that fade for a potential time. That's my beef. Because nobody knew what was going on, who was supposed to be where. That was a critical play, man.
Of course it was.
How often would you practice 2-point converts? Like, at least one session a week is dedicated to just that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No ifs, ands, buts about it. When you practice in goal line, all that, James.
And there's no injuries. It's not like there was a guy who subbed in.
Mm-hmm. It just baffled me because. Again, critical play. They were getting the momentum. They had it. The Riders had the momentum at that point. And to throw that fade and everybody's looking around like.
Who's that to?
Yeah, it was.
That being you?
Trevor Harris. Like, What are you doing?
Markway McDaniel on the sideline.
Oh, slamming something.
Yeah. He was.
Somebody ran the wrong route. It looked to be a Joe, but we don't know that.
We don't know, but just.
I imagine it's a Joe Joe, because if there's anybody on that team you're throwing a fade jump ball to,
right? Yeah.
It is that guy, because he's got hops forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. But clearly, he was in the wrong. I would suspect, without knowing what the play call was, but I'm educated guess that play was to a Joe Joe.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, they had they had a timeout. They talked. They discussed.
Yeah.
What happened?
Came back with garbage.
What happened, man? That's my beef right there, Jamie.
There's your beasts and your beefs here on a Saturday night with Belton Johnson. 1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open. Maybe Trevor Harris will explain what the heck happened on that play. We'll hear from the quarterback next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show here on CJME and CKOM on this Saturday night. Thanks for tuning in after the Riders dropped their second straight game, first losing streak, 27-25, the final against the Edmonton Elks. They were down by 12. It was 24-12. Then they scored a touchdown, and then the Elks hit a deep shot, kicked a field goal to go up by 8. And with 47 seconds left, the Riders were able to engineer a comeback, get down to the one-yard line, and Tommy Stevens punched it in. And then they had a two-point conversion attempt, and that was not... That is not the execution you want to see on Week 17 on a key and vital play. That looked like Week 1 two-point convert attempt and execution. Let's hear from the quarterback, Trevor Harris, from Commonwealth Stadium.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but we didn't start fast. And, the first drive was on me. And then from there, I thought they did a good job kind of, containing what we were trying to do. And then eventually we adjusted and we were able to really start moving the ball with really good effectiveness. And it pains me to keep saying the same thing over and over about the slow start. And, but obviously this team obviously has so much fight, so much resilience, so much character, and, proud of the guys for fighting, till the end. But, first drive of the game, I put us in a bad spot with, both interceptions. And, first one, I just didn't lift the ball. And, the second one, I tried to fit it over top and he kind of got a hand on it. If I just put it 6 inches higher, it's one of those ones where I'll continue to trust, my accuracy and, cause I make that throw 90% of the time. So, but I can't turn the ball over early like that. But obviously we had some missed opportunities, later as well offensively. And, this one sucks, man. Can't lie, sit here and lie to you and just say and give a bunch of great things, because this one sucks, man. That sucks.
Even with just under 4 minutes left in the game, they're ahead by 12, touchdown. They counter with a field goal. You come back with a touchdown. What are you able to draw upon in those situations to make it as close as it was down to the final play?
Yeah, it was just about executing, and that's the beauty of the CFL is it's a two-possession game, and if there's anything less or anything more than, 2 minutes left and you have the ball, it's still anybody's game. And we saw that tonight, and we were able to get a score and then get the ball back and get another score. And so we just unfortunately didn't convert the two-point conversion to get it to overtime, because that sucks, because I think if we move it to overtime, I think we come away with a win.
Weren't able to go deep until really late in the game. Were they doing something to keep you from going deeper?
Yep. They did a good job defensively, taking away our interior in-breakers, and something that was starting to frustrate you a little bit. And you don't want to force things, because obviously that'd be bad. But I thought they did a good job of spot dropping inside, and then obviously we adjusted and we were able to run the ball really well because of how much they were, spot dropping to interior lanes. And then we were able to kind of run the football and get the get the momentum kind of slanted in our direction and be able to keep them off balance a little bit. And then I was, as we kind of moved on to the end parts of the game, we were able to kind of keep them low with a couple little things we were able to do and then be able to shoot it over the head a little bit.
You had two-point conversion attempts today. Both faltered. Is there something they did to prevent success on two-point converts today?
They played the run really well on the second or on the first one. And the second one, I had my eyes on the DBs, and they gave us a man coverage look. And so I read the boundary, which we had a little man-to-man concept to the boundary. And right when I let the ball go, I'd kind of realized they collisioned each other. And it was just unfortunate. I've got to be able to hopefully come through in that situation. And I think it was just a little miscommunication with them. And it's unfortunate. But, yeah, we've got to be able to convert that in the end. And that one guts you because, man, I just feel like we get that to overtime. We were really rolling.
Trevor, you normally are very accurate. It felt like watching it, you just missed some guys today. What was it, mental miscues? Couldn't miss them with the arm, or what happened there early in that game especially?
Oh, you're talking about the picks?
The picks, but just like missing guys. It felt like guys were just maybe just not in the right spots at times.
There was a few where, you know, I thought we were, just miscommunications with routes in terms of how the DBs were playing. But I did miss the first dig. I just babied the throw, and I just got to lift the throw and throw the dig. And that's a throw, like I said, I make 99 times out of 100 and not one that I'll bat an eye to make again. Steph Curry misses a few. He's going to keep shooting, and that's what I'll keep doing. And the second one, same thing. I'll make that throw. But yeah, there was a couple where, it seemed like, it was bigger misses. It was just a little miscommunications and things that I need to make sure I do a better job of getting on the same page with my receivers.
That is Trevor Harris, quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, on a night where he did throw for 351 yards, two interceptions, one touchdown, 46 pass attempts tonight. As
oh boy,
they were.
What's that rating thing called? They'll probably give him the top quarterback rating of the week again. That farce of a rating system.
It'll probably be Zach Collaros actually this week.
Oh, you think so? I don't know. They've never had it right yet, so they gave it to Trevor Harris on his worst performance of the season earlier this year. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he didn't have a very good game. He did miss receivers, the interceptions.
Yeah.
And I keep saying there's no zip on his ball anymore. So
well, we played the tape from this week mm-hmm. When he was asked about the bye week. And he said, probably one of the bye weeks, shoulder was getting a little stiff. And then he said, I want to spend this bye week and get a little treatment on it. And then he kind of went my whole body. So it's got to be a 39-year-old quarterback who has had some shoulder stiffness this year. It's like a pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are the Jays doing with Shane Bieber, who's coming back from Tommy John? They're giving him extra days between starts. Mm-hmm. And in football, you don't see that with quarterbacks a lot, right? No. It's every practice, and they're throwing, and they're throwing, and they're throwing.
Wearing down, yep.
But I'm worried, like Daryl is, that there is an issue there with his arm. Is it just, and it's just exhaustion. I think he's still got the mental thing. I still think he reads defenses great. Mm-hmm. His accuracy is on point, but when there's just a little bit less zip on the ball, you see some underthrows and overcompensation on overthrows, and it's just,
well, look at the first quarter. Those balls that he threw there.
Mm-hmm.
Missed or intercepted, right?
Yeah. That caution,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, he's faded a little bit. You're right. Just a rest, Of course, don't, like when people are saying start Mayer. No. Harris is their starter. But maybe, if you get ahead or give him a break. Jamie's point is more valid than anything, Belton, isn't it? Just give him a rest and practice. Rather than three practices a week, make him only practice once. That way he doesn't have to throw 100 balls a practice.
Doesn't a quarterback get a vet day?
Yeah, they should. He stays after practices to work out too, right? He doesn't have to do that. Give it a rest. He's the most important piece of the puzzle.
He sure is.
So he needs to take a break just to get get him back. And he doesn't like taking a break. So nope. It'd be tough to do. But just for the overall benefit of him and for the team, I think the best idea is just to get at least give him a break in practice.
It's a short week getting ready for Ottawa. Next week in the nation's capital is a Friday evening game. But coming up next here on the Green Zone postgame show, we'll get to the game Warriors, who stood out among them all tonight in a 27-25 loss for the Riders against the Edmonton Elks. The Elks, that was a big win for them to even think about having a shot to get back in this thing. They are 6-9 with three games left, two back of BC, Winnipeg, and Calgary. Saskatchewan, of course, two games up on that group of three teams in the middle of the West Division. Game Warriors coming up next. Still a little bit of time if you want to give us a call now at 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone postgame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday. 27-25, that was the loss to the Edmonton Elks for the Rough Riders as we get to the game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, game Warriors.
Each and every week, we tell you the players of the game Warriors here on the Green Zone postgame show. We always start with the winning side, and for the second straight time, that is not the Rough Riders.
Wow.
The Edmonton Elks offensive game warrior, Daryl Davis. Drum roll. Don't think it's going to be that big of a surprise.
No, complete from his, or direct from his starring role in the play of the game. Running back number five, Justin Rankin, who before the game we said might be the best running back in the league. I think he proved it tonight. I would take him first among anybody right at the moment. 14 carries, 82 yards, and two touchdowns, including that amazing 37-yard run that he outran everybody around the edge. That turned the game around. Like, it seemed like Saskatchewan was cruising, was coming back to take control of that game until Justin Rankin got loose. He also caught two passes for 15 yards. An all-around threat and a tremendous football player.
He is.
He ate, right?
He ate.
Did
you pick him, Bill? All right.
He's one of those guys who you can contain. And for the most part, the Riders can say we contained him. But boom, he's good for at least one explosion play a game. And that flipped the game with that 37-yard touchdown run against the Riders.
Total weapon. Yeah. Amazing.
So we go from one running back to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders game Warrior running
back. I agree with you. Number 45, A.J. Ouellette, 19 carries, 115 yards, and one touchdown out of the lineup as quarterback. They do that once in a while rather than use Tommy Stevens at the quarterback. They just line Trevor Harris out as a receiver to get somebody to come or pretend to cover him anyway.
Yeah.
They should add that play in because I don't know if anybody covers Trevor Harris anymore. Mm. Throw a touchdown pass to him, but... Anyway, A.J. Ouellette's the behind the center quarterback. He takes some plays like that. Did I tell you the numbers? Yeah, 19 carries, 115, and a touchdown.
He went over 1,000, right?
He did. He went over 1,000. He also got two passes for 17 yards, so they used him out of the backfield a little bit. So about 5, 6, 7 minutes into the third quarter, he went over 1,000 yards. I'm just telling you that to remind us. Bold predictions.
Yeah.
What do you want next, Jamie?
I don't want to talk about that one. Okay, let's go to the defensive game warrior, the Edmonton Elks. Daryl, who is it?
I know that A.J. Ouellette ran for some yards, but I don't think he's running up the middle that much. He didn't get many yards up the middle. But when he runs outside, he's got a little bit more room because he doesn't have to run into number 43, Brock Mogensen, the Edmonton Elks middle linebacker, who had a pretty decent game all over the place. 7 tackles, an interception, and a forced fumble.
Yeah, and pretty impressive. They have Nick Anderson and Nigel Morgan out, two of their star linebackers, and Morganson has fit right in quite nicely with DeBlanco in that group. So are you going to be like Enoch Mwamba? I think he was buying a Morganson jersey at halftime, or Mogensen jersey, I should say, at halftime.
He was pretty noticeable out there.
7 tackles, 1 interception, 1 forced fumble, and that was two of those. Those two were in the first quarter as he was flying around in that first half and the second half. and the defensive game warrior for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Daryl Davis.
Who's going to eat Jamie?
I believe I said Habakkuk Baldinato.
Number 95, filling in for Shane Ray. Did a great job. And they've talked he about did. What a good player he is. Tonight, he three defensive tackles and a sack. Also, a tackle for a loss. So, pretty nice job filling in. Used him a little in a rotation.
I also said AJ Olette was going to eat, too, by the way.
Good for you. I'm glad those don't get points, Jamie. Maybe you should change that for next season.
I think I'm going to change it right now.
Right now, just to get you back into it. Okay, well, Habakkuk Baldinato, defensive lineman, defensive end, number 95 for the Rough Riders, is their defensive game warrior.
There are the game warriors, Justin Rankin and AJ Olette on the offensive side. Brock Mogensen and Habakkuk Baldinato on the defensive side for the Elks and the Rough Riders. We go back to Commonwealth Stadium. Some post-game thoughts from Malik Kearney on trying to pick things up going forward and how things kind of unraveled there in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter like that, when we need to stop, we just wasn't able to get it done. But we're going to go back to the drawing board and make sure we get those corrections corrected, and we'll be better moving forward.
It looked to be almost all their big plays were when contain was lost. Did you see anything they were doing to free themselves on those big plays?
I mean, I don't think it was anything that they did. It was more so how we played. We just got to make our tackles when the opportunity presents itself. And then, again, we're just going back to the drawing board, make those, mistakes that we had known, hold each other accountable, and, just get back to the next game.
When you look at it, you guys still have a cushion on first place. Do you think about that at this time of the year, or do you think about the other teams that are, closing in on you guys and picking up the urgency? How much of that message is, status quo, we got to keep going, and how much of it is, a bit of that urgency?
I mean, obviously, we know that we're in first, and we do want to, remain that first, but we got, things that we need to fix within the room, defensively. as a team in general. We know where we're at, and we're going to do our best to keep that. But we just got to make the corrections, take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and we'll be exactly where we want to be come November.
Football seasons, especially over 18 games, always have ebbs and flows. What kind of test is this for the team now?
This is definitely a test that we, going to definitely go back and look at the film and make those corrections. But, in this league, you can't downplay any team. They're all pros and they all get paid. And on any given night, you can win or you can lose. And today we took that L. And, it's something that we definitely got to go back to the drawing board and, be hard, hold each other to a high standard, holding each other accountable. And as we were saying in the locker room, no feelings because it is pro ball and we got to get it done if we want to be where we want to be come November. So that's what we're going to do once we get back in town. Come later tonight, come Sunday, we'll be back in there making those corrections for sure.
That is Malik Kearney, his post-game thoughts for the Rough Riders tonight. He had one tackle on the eve. He was close to Cody a few times. Could have used one more sack. But we'll get to bold predictions coming up, as well as unsung heroes. And is it time to panic in Rider Nation? Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson as the Riders drop 127-25 to the Edmonton Elks. They were down 24-12 with 3 minutes left. They score a touchdown with about 2 minutes left. The Elks score a field goal quick, then it's an 8-point lead, then they come back, 1 yard plunge, touchdown, and the 2-point conversion.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Imploded. Whatever that was.
Emelis and Ajoe, as Trevor Harris kind of bumped into each other, but it also was probably a miscommunication on who was supposed to run where. And
you know what?
When receivers are running into each other, that's not a good
sign. That's a mistake. Yep. And I didn't like the call. Most of the game was called pretty well, but that was a horrendous call for a. when you only need 3 yards, why do you throw 20?
I don't know.
Right? There's so many quick hits that you can, crossing routes, little curls. Just when you play touch football, you don't throw into the deep end zone. You want a chance to complete a pass, so you've got a great completion by throwing short. I know, Jamie, you're right that the goalposts are in the way, so you have to go wide and deep and everything, but I still think you can run a bunch of different plays in that area and not just send somebody deep for what one of our callers called it, a Hail Mary, basically. And that's what it was. It was a Hail Mary.
It was a jump ball.
Yeah. And that's not what you do when you've got to have a 2-point convert.
Well, all right, now let's get to the unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Daryl Davis, we start with the Edmonton Elks, who are victorious tonight. Who is their unsung hero?
You know, this guy didn't catch many passes, but he caught two huge passes right in the fourth quarter to set up scoring plays for the Edmonton Elks. O.J. Hillier, number 84. Two catches, 86 yards. Like a pair of 43-yarders, basically, is what
he got. It was 44 and 42.
Yeah.
For his two catches.
Really impressive. He hadn't done much all night, but isn't that what an unsung hero does? Just all of a sudden when you really need him.
Well, he set up the field goal
on
the one-on-one route on Kosi and Yankee, and he set up the touchdown as well with that deep shot.
Yeah, so I could have done the same type of thing with Tommy Neal as the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but I'm going to go with Jesse Miracle, the punter. Four punts. One was a 62-yarder, averaged 52.3 yards. Wow. All of a sudden, he practiced a little bit this week, and they decided to replace Joe Couch, the punter. Even though the punter was struggling, but the kicker was struggling even more so. They haven't replaced the kicker. Maybe they will, but they replaced the punter and put in Mirko, and he responded with a decent game, considering that it's his first one with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, so Mirko, I'm just doing a quick comparison, a 52.3 yard average. That's the best in the league out of anybody who's punted all year, even guys who just punted one or two games. Best average, but it's only one game. His 38.5 net yards would put him, it looks like, third in the league.
Pretty good.
Couch was sixth.
So 62 yarders up there with one of the longer punts of the year. But how about the one that was almost blocked too? Elk came right through and was really close, and he just kind of sidestepped them, didn't lose a beat, and still nailed a pretty good punt. So I think that's even equally impressive. And be an unsung hero type performance.
Sorry, all panicking now. Is this that called in? It's over. They're
going to
fall to third, and it's done. And
sky's falling.
Book it. It's BC Montreal in the Grey Cup, or not? Patience.
I do got a question.
Yes.
Who was the holder tonight?
It was Mirko.
Mirko. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So Blother's also using a new holder, right? Then he goes 2 out of 4, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't seem to matter who's holding. So.
No.
He's still kicking in the 60s.
You can't have that stuff matter, though.
No, it can't.
Looking at the holds.
The holds looked fine today, right? Yeah, it didn't look like there's any problem with them. So I don't know. You think they'll make a change?
We've been over this.
No.
We've been over this.
I keep saying it's too late. They're not going to make a change, right? Who is around, who's available, who would be better than Lothar over the career? And right now, at this stage of the season, are you going to risk it on somebody who doesn't have career stats?
Mm.
Are you going to put a kid in there who's right out of college?
This should have been done.
Yes, it should have been done 10 weeks ago. Yeah, it might hurt them. It still might burn them. It burned them tonight. He cost them 6 points, and they lost by 2.
Even the 50, the 56-yarder or 55.5 or whatever it was, but the 50-yarder early in the game, it's like that one goes in. There's no 2-point convert at the end of the game.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're probably not going. You don't have to go for 2 earlier in the game and kick that single point.
Yep.
So that impacts things as well
because
they went for 2 to tie at 11 when that wouldn't have been an issue.
That's been the important thing. That's what we talk about. The Riders have had to change strategies this year because their kicker has let them down.
Let's get to bold predictions from the pregame show. We talked about special teams. Mirko's average was 52. I said 47.8. I was the highest. I get the point there. Missed kicks. There were 2. Daryl gets the point because he said 1. Bain's kickoff returns, 101 yards, 25-yard average. I get that point. I was the highest. And punt return yards, 48. And that's Spelton. You said 43.
Oh,
stopping Justin Rankin, receiving yards, 15. Spelton, you get a point. You were the lowest on that one. 82 yards rushing. Daryl said 80, so he gets the point. The longest. Well, if that was a 38-yard run, I get the point, but it was 37, so Belton gets the point. And the Riders' defensive line got three sacks, and that's Darrell's point. And then it gets to A.J. Ouellette when he scores a touchdown. I was 25 seconds away from getting the point. Instead, Darrell gets it with A.J. Ouellette when he crossed 1,000. And Darrell gets the point for A.J. or for Keyshawn Johnson going over 1,000 early in the second quarter. And Sam Emilis, 7 catches tonight.
Wow.
For 63 yards. Wow. You get the catching point. I get the yardage point. And where are we at? Belton, you got 4 tonight. Darrell gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tonight. I get 1, 2, 3.
With me now. Okay.
So, yes, Darrell's at 94. I'm at 89. And Belton, you are at 83. So there you have it.
Still scrapping, man.
Darrell extended his lead. You were almost going to pick Montreal or the Elks, and if you would have, that would have hurt.
If you talked myself out of it, I kept thinking this is one of those games, but oh well, I didn't. Neither did the Riders.
So they drop one, but they still have the best record in the CFL with 10-4. And they'll put it on the line against the worst team in the league next Friday. They will actually kick off Week 18 in the CFL Friday night. In Ottawa, in the nation's capital, that is a 5:30 kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show next Friday will begin at 3:30, of course, during the regular hours of the Green Zone. Locker gets to go home.
Again, we send him home. Locker's going to have to buy us like donuts or something.
I think so, too. So that's next Friday is when we'll come at you next here on the Green Zone Game Day. Thanks to Chance behind the glass, of course. Chance. Britton Gray with the work he does for the pre- and post-game show. And all of you for giving us a call and entertaining us with your opinions on this football team. Again, back at it next Friday on a game day, 3:30, the Green Zone pregame show. Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson, have a great weekend. And Belton, hottie totty. Have a good night.
I like it.
This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.